This is the Maximize Your Social Influence podcast with Neil Schaefer, where I help sales and marketing professionals, entrepreneurs, and small business owners build, leverage, and monetize their influence in digital and social media. Hey everybody, Neil Schaefer here. Welcome to episode number 162 of the Maximize Your Social Influence podcast. This episode is being sponsored by The Age of Influence, my new book, which came out in mid-March. So for those of you who haven't checked it out, I do have a free preview that you can download from my website. I'll put the link in the show notes, but definitely check out The Age of Influence if you're trying to figure out influencer marketing, how to collaborate with influencers, and just better understand this concept of digital influence that I talk a lot about on this podcast. So today is a special interview edition of the Maximize Your Social Influence podcast. We have a special guest, Jillian Tober-Leslie, who is the CEO and founder of MiloTree. Some of you may never heard of MiloTree, but MiloTree is actually an app that I found from Pinterest. From following a lot of people on Pinterest, consuming their information, going to their websites, I noticed that a lot of them had these really cool looking, visually appealing widgets that said, you know, follow me on Instagram, follow me on Pinterest. And when I looked into it, they were all coming from using a very, very inexpensive, I think it's like $10 a month, MiloTree widget. So that's how I got to know MiloTree. And Jillian is someone, if you listen to my last episode on email marketing, is someone who actually had a great sequence built in so that when you became a customer, you would begin getting emails from her. Personalized emails. Thank you for joining me on the journey. You know, here's some advice on social media marketing. So through that, I got to know Jillian, and we actually were going to originally record this interview to talk about Pinterest, which is where I found her, and which she has done amazing, you know, like over a million followers, I think, for her other business that she's going to talk about in the show. But, you know, the timing didn't work, but as it turned out, the timing for this podcast, I think, is a lot better for the subject. So the subject for today is why the riches are in the niches in online business. Just yesterday, I was talking to someone in one of my classes who wants to go, she wants basically to become a fashion influencer on Instagram. And so immediately, I said, well, there's a million fashion influencers on Instagram. What's your niche? How are you going to differentiate yourself from everybody else out there? And I think this notion of niche, whenever you read about creating or yielding or monetizing influence, it comes down to that niche. It's really, really important in social media when it's really crowded out there. What are going to be the specific things visually, you know, content-wise, your voice, that are going to draw people to you? And they're drawn to you because of your passion, your knowledge, your expertise in that niche. And therefore, when you sell products and services related to that niche, everything works together in a beautiful, perfect yin-yang. So that's why this episode is something that's really central to your success in maximizing your social influence. We're going to talk about a few things, like why drilling down in your niche can really help you explode your business, how not just Instagram, but Facebook groups are really gold for selling to your audience, and the importance, and I couldn't agree more, of teaching your audience to buy from you. So without further ado, here is Jillian Tober-Leslie. Hey everybody, Neil Schaefer again, and welcome again to the Maximize Your Social Influence podcast. I love to pick and choose the people that I interview for this podcast because I want to make sure that they deliver incredible value to you. And that's why I'm really excited today to have Jillian Tober-Leslie on this podcast. Now, Jillian is not a name you might have heard of, but you might have heard of, first of all, her online store, and you might have also heard of the tool that she has to help us yield more influence in digital and social media, which is why she's so appropriate. So as I like to say, and I think this is going to be a great lead-in before I introduce Jillian formally and have her introduce herself, I met Jillian because, you know, every social network has its own sort of influencers and its own things that they talk about. So I noticed on Pinterest, and I'm a heavy Pinterest user for those who don't know, I'm the 20% of the males that use it. There were a lot of bloggers that were talking about MiloTree. I'm like, MiloTree? I've heard of like that Nestle drink Milo, but I've never heard of MiloTree. And I kept on seeing in all these pins, like MiloTree, MiloTree. And I had never heard about it outside Pinterest. just like if you listen to a lot of podcasts, you hear about things that you don't hear outside of podcasting, right? So it's like, I really got to tap into this, figure it out. And I tapped into it, became a user, used it for my site. And all of a sudden, I start getting emails from Jillian Tober Leslie. Now, some of them were probably automated, but some of them were really, really well personalized. And she invited me to be on her podcast. And this is an episode I need to record, is how to use podcasting for influencer marketing, because it really is the same thing. I was really impressed with not just the tool, but her story, and that she is one of the most successful entrepreneurs online that you will meet. And she has a tool, and she's openly educating people on everything she's learned. So she's an incredible resource to tap into. And that's why I'm really happy to introduce Jillian to you. Jillian, I'll let you introduce yourself from here.
Okay. Hi. Thank you. Thank you so much for having me on your show. So what I wanted to share is MiloTree is an app that you install on your site, and it's a pop-up, and it pops up and it will say, follow me on Pinterest. And there's a button and you click it and you can then grow your followers on Pinterest. And there's also a pop-up that says, follow me on Instagram. And I think actually you were using the Instagram pop-up, or maybe both, because you can have it rotate. And you can also grow your Facebook followers with it, or your YouTube subscribers, or your email list, or you can put in a custom link to something, like you want to sell something and you can link it to a sales page or something. So the idea is that you're able to take your audience, which, by the way, for most of us is one time, you know, 80% of your traffic is one time. They're going to come, they're going to forget you and leave, maybe get some value. But this is a way to say, hey, come stay in my universe. And maybe, let's say, asking for their email address is too big an ask, but asking them to follow you on Instagram might not be as big an ask, and they might be more willing to do it. So that's how we think about it. We think that it's an awesome way to get people to stay, to get to know you, to build that relationship. And what's cool about it is, let's say you're growing your Pinterest followers or your Instagram followers with it. These are people who've already been to your site. They're on your site when they see the pop-up. So these will be your best followers, like that they, you know, everybody talks about engagement. And there is a difference between a high quality follower and a low quality follower. The low quality follower, let's say, is somebody you purchase, you know, or you're doing, let's say, a giveaway and you're like, follow me. But this is somebody who's actually seen your content and has decided to follow you. And that person is more apt to interact with you, to want to get to know you. So that's our pop-up, which, by the way, we initially built for ourselves, because we have another site that we started first called Catch My Party. And we realized how important Pinterest was to Catch My Party. So we built it for us. We scratched our own itch. It worked. And then we said, wait a second, there's a whole world of influencers, bloggers, online entrepreneurs that could benefit from it, because we know it works. If you have traffic to your site, MiloTree, I promise you, will convert them into followers, subscribers, anything you want, it will work. And that's how we started. So again, it's kind of funny how the great thing about the internet is you discover business ideas, you discover, you know, your journey is not necessarily going to be the way you think it's going to be.
Yeah, that's a great story. And as being a user of MiloTree, I can say what I love about it is we all talk about calls to action, right? So what is the one call to action you want on your website? For a lot of people, it's subscribe to my email. And your email marketing provider may provide you some of those things. Mm-hmm. You know, with social media, we all have these social media icons on our website. But for me specifically, the place where I find it hardest to grow a following right now is Instagram. So Although I could have used it for Pinterest, I find organically I'm able to grow a lot faster there, but Instagram not as much. So it's like, hey, if there's one thing, follow me on Instagram. And I love how you add a little sparkle there, so it really shows up nice. It's optimized for mobile. So definitely, I mean, at the end, we'll give people a link where they can go to try it out.
I just want to say one thing. Because we use it for ourselves, we've optimized it like crazy. So people worry, oh, plugins slow my site down, or is this not Google friendly? We've thought of it all. So you can trust me when I say you can feel really confident with this on your blog.
Awesome. So with that in mind, today we're going to be talking all about, obviously, we're all moving digital, right? Mm-hmm. And Jillian and I talked about this because a lot of people want to stay focused on sort of remote work or, you know, the pandemic. And I feel very strongly that I had to send a very, very positive message that, one, we're going to get through this. And number two, online businesses are going to be more important than ever. Everybody is trying to figure out how to move from physical to digital. Maybe you are as well. Maybe you already have an online business and you want to get it going even more. So I'm sorry I didn't introduce the topic before I introduced Jillian, but we're going to be talking about today is why the riches are in the niches in online business. I'm sure it's a term you've heard before, maybe on other podcasts. If you haven't heard it before, it is something very, very powerful. And, you know, Jillian, you have, I mean, Catch My Party, what a niche. Milo Tree, it does one thing and it does it damn well, where all these other tools try to do anything and everything, right? So based on your experience, let's first talk about drilling down in your niche. Maybe why don't we define with, you know, what for those of you that it might be your first time ever hearing the term, or maybe you've heard it before, but you don't have 100% crystal clear understanding of it. When we talk about niche in the world of influence and the world of internet marketing, what do we mean by that?
We mean your area of expertise. So let's say you're a food blogger. That's a niche. Now, I will tell you, that's a pretty broad niche. And my argument is you want to niche down even more. So let's say you're a food blogger. You say, I'm going to start a food blog. That's my niche. And I go, great. But how can you find an even smaller niche within food bloggers? So maybe you're a vegan food blogger. Maybe you're a family-friendly meal food blogger. Maybe you're a dessert food blogger, something like that. And what I have discovered in my journey, and also I have a podcast too, which Neil, I had reached out for you to be on. It's called the Blogger Genius Podcast. The guests that are the most successful that I interview are the ones that have figured out what their niche is, who their audience is, and how best to serve them. You can be everything. Well, I like to say instead of everything to everybody, you're almost everything to nobody, or you can be something to somebody. And if you can create a relationship with that person and know what their problems are, know what they're struggling with, know what they're thinking about, that's the way to serve them. And that's the way to sell to them, whether it be a product or a service. But it's like the internet. I always say this, the internet is a really big place. And I don't think we can conceptualize how big it is. So therefore, you can, I just interviewed somebody on my podcast and her niche is not plants. It's succulents. And it's not just succulents. It's indoor succulents. And she has been able to grow a really big business because succulents are really in right now. They're beautiful. They're relatively easy, but there's a whole thing of like, well, what if you live in the desert and you have indoor succulents? And what if you live in like a more humid climate? How do you deal with succulents? What are the best succulents? And she has been able to build a really large business talking all about succulents to a very succulent, excited audience.
And guess who they're going to turn to when they want to buy their next succulent, right?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah. And that's what's so, like, I thought, I didn't think it was possible to build a six-figure business serving that audience. But guess what? There are, and that's the thing. It's like, I like succulents, but I'm not like the excited succulent owner. I have some succulents, you know, but there are, because the internet is a really big place. There are people, there is a large enough population of people who love succulents, who want to follow her, who want her advice, who want to buy her products. And so now then people say to me, what if I niche down too small? What if I'm the vegan dessert, I don't know, paleo food blogger, whatever it is, who only makes cookies? I go, well, see if there is an audience for you. So start, for example, putting terms into Google and seeing if people are searching for these kinds of terms. You could go to a site like Uber Suggest, which is like keywords, and you can see, are people searching for stuff? So I will say, I have more often than not, the mistake people are making is not niching down enough more than they're niching down too far. So if you think you've niched down enough, I would say challenge yourself. Could you niche down even more? Is there an audience that you could serve more intimately by doing that?
That's really awesome. Very well put. Easy to understand. And I agree 100%. And I like to look at it from the other way around, which is when I was working with one of my agency clients on an influencer marketing campaign, I know that there is a portion of my audience that's like, how do I become more influential for my own personal brand? So they were looking for mommy bloggers, but their product was specifically a healthcare product for babies. So and this was like 5 years ago before the growth of Instagram. So we're really looking for bloggers. So yeah, there's tons of mommy bloggers out there. But when you get into who these people are, they're blogging about a specific niche, maybe raising children with learning disabilities, maybe raising kids vegan, maybe, you know, physical education in children. Maybe they just focus on 1-year-olds or 2. I mean, I don't know, right? Everybody has their niche. What it means as a marketer or advertiser is I can tap into that exact audience that I want to tap into. So for instance, so if you look at it that way, that, you know, the way that Jillian said is also a great way to look at it, but hey, you know, we're going to make a line of cosmetics. Well, you're probably going to start with like lipstick, right? And if that was my thing, I would just, that would be that alone is a valuable niche, because you can imagine the amount of money spent on lipstick every year instead of just beauty. Because then if I'm looking for advice on lipstick and I do a keyword search for lipstick and I go to your Instagram profile and it's all lipstick, I'm going to follow you, right? And I'm going to tune into you. And that's how these niche influencers are building niche communities. And really any small business owner, entrepreneur can be leveraging the same thing. So when you stick to the niche, it's smaller potentially in volume, but it's absolutely more powerful. And I agree with you, Jillian. I've never heard someone say I niche down too far. Most people don't niche down enough.
Exactly. But I would argue that if you are interested in lipstick, I'd be niching down even further, because my daughter is 13 and her lipstick needs are very different than me as a mom.
True.
Who has, you know, I want different things than she does. She wants glittery, sparkly stuff. So she wants to follow the lipstick Instagrammer who's doing like crazy lipstick art. And she's actually, no joke, my daughter is doing lipstick art on her own. And I don't want to do lipstick art. So there are even within that, you know, that's where I'm saying, like, can you challenge yourself even more to say, well, who is my, you know, and I always speak about it in terms of avatars. Who is my avatar? So the lipstick avatar for my daughter is very different than the lipstick avatar, like for me as their avatar, as like a middle-aged mom. And always start with and your avatar is your ideal audience, your ideal customer. And you know, as somebody who wants to reach out, let's say, to influencers, those influencers who can really speak to their avatar are the ones that you would want to reach out to, because those, their audiences are the ones that will follow that influencer off a cliff. They feel a connection to that influencer, and that influencer has their back. So that's why you want to start. If you want to say start an online business, identify your avatar. Now, typically your avatar is going to be similar to you. And I recommend you go that way. So for example, if I'm like, if I hate succulents, I should not go, well, you know what? There's an opportunity for succulents. So I'm going to somehow, I don't know, like bend myself into a succulent influencer. No, I want to go toward things that speak to me. So online business is something that speaks to me. Therefore, it feels natural for me to build my audience of entrepreneurs and online influencers and those kinds of things, because I know something about that. So this woman I interviewed loves succulents, knows everything there is to know about succulents. So it's really authentic, because this is the other thing, which is, as you niche down and you start building this relationship with your audience, they will sniff out if you are not authentically connected to whatever it is you're writing about, talking about, you know, where you're an expert. And also for you, in terms of burnout, you want to make sure it is something that gets you up in the morning and that you can just continue to create content that relates to this topic, and that you don't wake up in the morning and go, oh my God, I hate this, or it doesn't speak to me. So make sure it's something that speaks to you. Make sure it's something you know something about. And therefore, again, you have insights into your avatar, into what problems you are trying to solve for your audience.
Well said, Jillian. Yeah, if you don't have a passion for what you do, it's not going to last, period. And all those other things you talked about will come through. So yeah, the niches are only relevant when it's a niche that's meaningful to you. And that you wake up every morning excited to be talking about and to be collaborating with people on and to be helping people on and serving them.
Absolutely. So if you're like a mommy blogger and you're a special needs mommy blogger, chances are you've got a child with special needs. So you see it from all angles and it touches your heart. And typically what happens is whatever you're struggling with, you want to help other people. You want to touch them where that you want to say, I know where you are and I am maybe half a step ahead of you. So I've dealt with this and you're probably dealing with it. So see what I've been able to do. And, you know, I know you're trying to grow succulents. Well, I bet you might be struggling with this problem. Well, guess what? I was struggling with this problem and I solved it this way. Maybe this solution will work for you. So think of yourself as, I like to think of myself as like the older sibling in a way, not the parent in terms of the relationship with your audience, but like maybe I have this technique for doing lip art that you've never thought about and I can show it to you as your older sister might show it to you.
Yeah, that's great. And I think, there's one podcast I listen to, I forget her name and maybe she's been on your podcast before, but when she talks on the podcast, she refers to people as her friends. Hi, friend. And it's all part of that avatar and the relationship you want with that person. So we're really covering a lot of stuff here, everybody. I hope you're taking notes and you're not listening to this at like 1.5x speed, which I normally do, because you're going to miss a lot of stuff. But let's keep going. So we talked about the importance of drilling down and how that helps your business. One thing, Jillian, that I know you're a big fan of, and I know a lot of people talking about, not just Facebook groups, but also Instagram, at their absolute gold. We all know that they're powerful. I don't know how many people are able to mine the gold in them. So I want to, tap your brain for some advice on how you and people that you know have been able to do that successfully.
Absolutely. I think that for your business, I'll start with Facebook. You're not necessarily, yes, you need a Facebook page for your business, but I think the gold right now in Facebook is having a Facebook group. And again, it's not going to drive traffic necessarily to your site, but think of it as R&D, research and development. The great thing about a Facebook group is you can talk intimately with a group of people who are interested in a certain topic. And you can then pose ideas. Well, guys, are you struggling with X? Are you struggling with coming up with quick recipes for picky kids? And then people will respond back to you and say, yeah, you know what? I am struggling with that. And you can go, oh, that's an interesting product idea. Maybe I can come up with an ebook of my top 5 kid-friendly recipes that you can make in under 30 minutes. So you get constant feedback from the audience that is really invested in your product because they've chosen to join your group. So it's not just your friends, like on your Facebook page or even your business page who think of you as a business. Your Facebook page enables you to show up in your pajamas, as I would say. Now, Instagram is similar to this. So therefore, definitely for your group, start a Facebook page and see if you can get your ardent fans, your evangelists to join it. And then ask your evangelists to invite other like-minded friends. Because if you're, say, interested in your vegan, chances are you probably have other vegan friends. And you can say, hey, could you invite your vegan friends to join my Facebook group? So that's the way that I would organically grow that. And just really think of it as having a two-way conversation with the people who would be most apt to buy from you, whether it be products or services. Now, in terms of Instagram, Instagram has a variety of different ways to connect. And it can be kind of overwhelming at the beginning until you figure out what works, where your audience is hanging out. So for example, you can start by putting up beautiful posts that feel inspirational in terms of in your feed so that you can then, and using hashtags strategically to identify the people who are interested in vegan food or kid-friendly meals or lip art or those kinds of things. And then you can start interacting with people who are also posting about that stuff. And hopefully by you following them, by you commenting on their posts, you can start to, again, grow a community of people who are interested in what you're interested in. And then what's great about stories is you can show a personality. So in your feed, is kind of like that, like the, let's say, more like the brand of what you're trying to present from a visual standpoint. But then the stories is where people get to go, oh, I see you. Now, I would recommend stories be related to what your niche is about. Now, could you say, oh my God, I'm, you know, here's something random that happened in my life? Absolutely. But I would, again, keep them more relevant so that when that story shows up in their feed, they kind of, and you start, let's say, talking about vegan food or succulents or whatever, they know who you are. They're not just like, why am I watching your kids jump into a pool? You know, like why, like what is relevant about this? I want to see how you're planting succulents. Or I want to see how you're cooking a vegan food, you know, some vegan meals. So I would keep your stories related to your content, but a little more raw, a little more with a little more personality, not as stylized, like let people in your stories. And then the third way that's terrific that you can reach out to people is direct messaging them, which is invite people to talk to you on Instagram. Some audiences will, some audiences won't, but it's a powerful way to say something like, hey, do you want to download my ebook of vegan family-friendly recipes? DM me. And that way I'll send it to you. And so that way you're creating this personal connection where they've DM'd you because this is, let's say they want something that you can send them. You can send it to them. And now you've got this relationship and you've got this openness to reach out to them. So again, is it going to drive traffic to your site because you're monetizing via ads? Probably not. But is it worth digging in and building the relationships and learning from your audience? Absolutely. And that's where I think the gold is.
Great advice, Jillian. And it's all about know, like, and trust. And if you're thinking, well, I can't drop links on Instagram, I'm not going to use it. It's not about that. It's bringing people into your funnel from the feed to watching your story to sliding into the DM, right? Like anything else. And the groups is also interesting. I mean, we can also look at joining other people's groups as a strategy. And you want to be careful when you do that. But I know, you know, I just moved my podcast hosting over to Buzzsprout from Libsyn. And Buzzsprout has this amazing Facebook group of its users. And there are people saying, hey, can anyone recommend a podcast editor? Hey, what tool can I use to promote my podcast? And these are just natural areas where just by responding to a question, you are going to find business. So I would look for groups of relevant audiences and really be careful, right? But try to become more of serving others through responding to those questions. And I think you're going to find lots of opportunities in addition to your own group. And for Instagram, as a reminder, episode number 153, I had an incredible interview with Christy Lawrence, who is the CEO and founder of Plan. Plan That, one of the leading Instagram scheduler apps. So please listen to that as well for some great advice on Instagram marketing strategy. So we're near the end here. And I think because you mentioned Instagram stories, you bring up a great point. So I have, and you know, your business as well on Instagram, we have over 10,000 followers. So everyone's like, hey, when you get over 10,000 followers, it's golden. People swipe up on links, but guess what? People don't really swipe up. I'm sorry to say. And if you listen to episode number 153, I even asked, Christy, do you recommend DM me for a link or do you recommend swipe up? Because there's some people who say DM me for a link is just, if not more effective. And then you get a direct message from them. And then that builds engagement as well. So this notion of sort of teaching your audience, not only things like swipe up, but to buy from you. Jillian, I know this is something you're passionate about. So what do you mean when you say that? And how can listeners actually implement that advice?
So here's the thing. We are all so busy and we're all so distracted. I mean, just look at your life. So people want to be led. I think it's an evolutionary thing. And therefore, people want to, I know this sounds weird, be told what to do. So if you sit there and you assume somebody is so into you and they so know what you offer that they're going to go find your product somehow buried in your website and buy from you, no way. What they need to know is, hey, buy now, buy here. Here's the button. Click this button. So you want calls to action that are simple. You want to say you want this value? Click here. One great way that I recommend people do this. So it's weirdly like I want people to think about Jillian and go, oh, I need to go sign up for MyloTree and get my 30 days free. And then I've added my credit card and I want to provide a service for you that you get to pay for that I think is really valuable. So I want people to think that way when they think about MyloTree. And therefore, I want you to think about that for your own audience, which is I provide a lot of value. So it's okay for you to buy my product. In fact, I'm going to recommend you buy it and I'm going to stand by it. If you don't like it, you can cancel it. We will refund you because we stand by our product. One great way is to use tripwires, which are after somebody signs up for your list, you put an offer in front of them, usually inexpensive, usually on sale, like an ebook or something. Maybe it's $5. But therefore, you can get people to already start to recognize, oh, if it's this brand, I buy things. And by buying that $5 product and then they like it, chances are you put your something else in front of them that's $20. And they say, wow, I got a lot of value out of the $5 purchase. I'm willing to take the risk because, again, I know, like, and trust them. And therefore, I'm willing to buy the $20 product or the $100 product. But do not be afraid. You know, we're all about let's be of service to our audience. But there's a fine line between I'm of service and I'm creating beautiful blog posts that give you tips and tricks and who knows, and I don't know how to monetize that. So there are, if somebody's going to give you something for free, A, you'll take it. And B, you might not value it as much because we value weirdly things we pay for. Mm. Therefore, it is I put the onus on you, not on your audience. You tell them what to buy, where to buy it, and to buy it now, and how it's going to solve their problem. That's it.
Yeah, you know, it's like you want to go on a date with someone. If you don't ask, you're never going to go on the date, right? I mean, if you don't have product, you can't monetize. And there's some people who have yet to create the product. But if you have the product and you don't make it easy and you don't ask for it and you're not asking directly, but in the ways that you mentioned in a very, very savvy way, but if you're not direct about it, you're never going to get the business because people are not going to go out of their way to buy from you unless they're just the absolute raving fan. So maybe the top 0.001% might.
Exactly.
We're scattered and your competitors are all asking for it. And if you're not asking for it, they're going to go to their competitors.
And I think that's women too, if you're a woman and you're listening to this, we have a hard time, you know, like asking for things because we're givers. And I want you to change that thinking to I'm helping. And the more money I make, the more I can help.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Really great advice on so many angles, Jillian. We're nearing, man, we could go on for hours here and you have the energy. It looks like you'd be able to last hours with the same passion and energy. So thank you for that. Where, just, you know, as a final note, we already mentioned sort of MyloTree and everything. So where's the easiest place for people to find you and actually sign up for a trial?
Ooh, go to MyloTree.com and we have a lot of buy buttons and or sign up buttons because we do offer 30 days free. We want you to love our product. We stand behind it. And if you want to grow your real engaged social media followers on Instagram and Pinterest and Facebook and YouTube and your email list, you don't have to do all of that, but you can, please head to MyloTree.com. And if you have any questions, you can contact us through our site or I'm at Jillian@MyloTree.com. And I have a podcast, which Neil, you've been a great guest on, and it's called the Blogger Genius Podcast because my way of serving is to help online entrepreneurs grow their businesses. There's so much. And so I'm trying to cut through the noise to give you the tips that you need to be successful.
And we're on the same mission, Jillian. Thank you. There's a lot of podcasts out there, but there are very few that deliver on that promise like Jillian's does. So definitely check it out. We'll leave all the links in the show notes. And the great thing about MiloTree is you can try it out for a month. It does have analytics. So you can actually see if it's working for you or not. I guarantee you at some level, it's going to work for you, right? Assuming that you're getting website traffic and you're able to display it. So it's really easy to set up. And I hope you all give it a try at least and let me know. And more importantly, let Jillian know what you think about it. So
absolutely.
Yeah,
absolutely.
Jillian, thank you so much. Subscribe to our podcast. Check out MiloTree. I always ask my guests, any other final words of advice, something that we didn't cover today that you want to make sure everybody know?
Yes. The one thing I will say is, it is a slow build. It is all about showing up and being consistent, and it will slowly grow. But if there is no, again, it's not an overnight thing. It's about patience and it's about doing the work. And I wish there were a magic bullet, but the truth is there isn't. It's really you and your commitment to building your business.
So well said. I was looking up here. I am not a geologist by any means, but my understanding is magnitude of an earthquake, to get from one to a two, it's not doubled. It's like 10 times to get to two to three. And that's sort of that slow build. Just because you're doubling the effort doesn't mean you're going to get double the sales immediately. You got to build it up over time. But with every, when you get from one to 1.1, you do see the needle moving. And that's what's important here. So thank you so much for that advice, Jillian. No shortcuts here, people. It takes time to build relationships with people, right? And especially when it's online, it may even take more time. But by showing up and being consistent, you can actually shorten that. And I think that's the key message there. So Jillian, you've been awesome. Thank you so much for sharing all of your experience and wisdom with everybody. And everybody, make sure you check out the show notes and click on those links. And we will see you all again very soon. Well, there you have it. Jillian is an amazing, passionate, inspirational source of information. I hope that you'll obviously check out MiloTree, as well as check out Catch My Party, especially on Pinterest and Instagram, and you'll see how successful her business has been and the sort of engagement that she gets. So, as I always say, thank you for listening, your subscriptions, your comments. It's you who make this podcast keep going, that provide me the fuel to keep on podcasting. So I hope if you have a minute, if you haven't done so before, to, take a minute, if you found value in this or any of the other episodes, to just write a quick comment on Apple Podcasts or wherever you're listening to the podcast, it would mean the world to me. And I talked a little bit about the beginning, the sponsor being the Age of Influence. We also have a marketing book giveaway going on, probably as you listen to this episode. Check it out in the show notes. You're going to have a chance to win. There's going to be 58 different winners of not only my own book, but a book from other marketing authors that I truly respect, such as Mark Schaefer, Jay Baer, Joe Pulizzi, and what have you. So make sure you check that out. And until next time, make it a great virtual under lockdown social day. Bye-bye, everybody.